5. September gave way to October, the best month of the year in upstate New York, where he and Marion had lived until his retirement, and in Lloyd's opinion, IMHO as they said on Facebook, the best month down here on the west coast of Florida. The worst of the heat was gone, but the days were still warm and the cold nights of January and February were still on the next calendar. Most of the snowbirds were also on the next calendar, and instead of opening and closing 50 times a day, the Oscar drawbridge only impeded traffic a dozen or 20 times, and there was so much less traffic to impede. The Cayman Key Fish House opened after its three-month hiatus, and dogs were allowed on the so-called puppy patio. Lloyd took Lori there often, the two of them ambling along 6-mile path beside the canal. Lloyd lifted the dog over the places where the boardwalk was overgrown with sawgrass. She trotted easily beneath the overhanging palmetto that Lloyd had to bull his way through, head bent, arm outstretched to push back the thickest clumps, always afraid that a tree rat might fall into his hair, although none ever had. When they arrived at the restaurant, she sat quietly by his shoe in the sunshine, occasionally rewarded for good manners by a piece of French fry from Lloyd's fish and chips basket. The waitresses all oohed over her, bending to stroke her smoky gray fur. Bernadette, the hostess, was particularly taken with her. "That face," she always said, as if that explained everything. She would kneel beside Lori, which gave Lloyd an excellent and always appreciated view of her cleavage. "Ooh, that face!" Lori accepted this attention, but did not seem to crave it. She simply sat, glancing at her new admirer before returning her attention to Lloyd. Part of that attention might have had to do with the French fries, but not all. She looked at him just as studiously when he was watching TV. Until that was, she fell asleep. She toilet-trained quickly, and in spite of Don's prediction, she did not chew the furniture. She did chew her toys, which multiplied from 3 to 6 to 12. He found an old crate to store them in. Lori would go to this crate in the morning, put her forepaws up on its edge, and examine the contents like a public shopper evaluating the produce. At last she would select one, take it into the corner, and chew it until it bored her. Then she would return to the crate and select another. By the end of the day, they would be scattered all over the bedroom, the living room, and the kitchen. Lloyd's final chore before going to bed was picking them up and returning them to the crate. Not because of the clutter, but because the dog seemed to take such satisfaction from surveying her accumulated booty each morning. Beth called often, asking about his eating habits, reminding him of the birthdays and anniversaries of old friends and older relatives, keeping him up to date on who had kicked the bucket. She always ended by asking if Lori was still on probation. Lloyd said yes, until one day in the middle of October. They had just come back from the fish house, and Lori was sleeping on her back in the middle of the living room floor, legs splayed to the 4 major points of the compass. The breeze from the air conditioner was ruffling her belly fur, and Lloyd realized she was beautiful. It wasn't sentiment, only a fact of nature. He felt the same about the stars when he took her out for her final pee of the evening. "No, I guess we're past the probation stage. But if she outlives me, Bethy, you're either taking her back and fuck Jim's allergies, or you're finding a good home for her." "I copy you, rubber duck." The rubber duck thing was something she'd picked up from an old trucking song back in the 70s and had hung on to ever since. It was another thing about Beth that Lloyd found simultaneously endearing and as annoying as shit. "I'm so pleased it's working out." She lowered her voice. "In truth, I didn't think it would."
"Then why did you bring her?"
"It was a shot in the dark. I knew you needed something more labor-intensive than a goldfish. Has she learned to bark?"
"It's more of a yark. She does it when the postman comes, or UPS, or if Don drops by for a beer. Always just the two. Yark, yark, and done. When are you coming up this way?"
"I came last time. It's your turn to come down here."
"I'll have to bring Lori. There's no way I'm leaving her with Don and Evelyn Pitcher."
Looking at his sleeping puppy, he realized there was no way he was leaving her with anyone.
Even short trips to the supermarket made him nervous about her, and he was always relieved to see her waiting at the door when he came home.
Then bring her. I'd love to see how much she's grown.
What about Jim's allergies?
Fuck his allergies, she said, and hung up, laughing.